The call to worship this morning is Psalm 146, verses 1 and 5 and 6. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Oh, that's a good way to do it. I can say it. You just respond back as an echo. That'll work. I like that. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Whose hope is in the Lord his God. The maker of heaven and earth. The sea. And everything in them. The Lord remains faithful forever. Welcome to Harbor of Joy. Good to see everyone here today. And hopefully you got a bulletin when you came in. You can follow along or read what's in there, because we're there. What's in here is always with you in mind. These are opportunities, just letting you know what's being planned, what's coming up this week and in the days ahead as well. Tomorrow is what day?
Veterans Day.
You know, I did talk to Bob Floss today, if he could play a little military thing like he normally would do. But I only thought of it this morning, which is not a good thing. If I had told him this earlier in the week, he could do it. So what we're going to do is we're going to hum, because we don't have the words, to the military song, the branch of the military. So if you know it, you can hum it. If you don't hum it, no one will know that you don't know it, because we're going to hum it. Okay, here we go. If you recognize this song and you served in that branch, please stand when you recognize it. Thank you, Mark, for serving in the Navy. That's right. Okay. I don't know any of the other ones. Okay. Thank you. That was the Army. I'm glad you did that, Ron, because I couldn't think of the Army. That's a good one. So we got
three that's, well, actually there's four standing for the Army that was here today. Great, thank you for your service as well. Okay, yeah, what's the Air Force? Oh, no, how's the Air Force go?
Oh, yeah. Off we go,
off we go to the bright blue yonder. Okay, we have no one who served in the Air Force that's here today. But I know there was. I know Jim Ebel served in the Air Force, and there's probably others too. You had a son in there? Yeah, okay. So there's one left. And these are the ones that are really the tough guys. If you really wanted to be the first on the beach or the first to be dropped in someplace where there was trouble, you would probably in this branch called the Marines. How does that go? I don't either. Anybody serving the Marines? I know that Chuck Teelberg did, and I know that your son, Brad, also is in the Marine Corps.
My dad.
And your dad was in the Marine Corps. Okay? So that's just one of those things. We want to recognize you for serving our country, and are so thankful for you as well. And we kind of, the big celebration is tomorrow somewhere in town. There's a lot of different things that have happened, even I think in schools. Schools said that your grandpa could come or whoever served, they could come and have lunch with the kids this past week here in Okoboji, well, Okoboji School in Milford. And so there'll probably be more things tomorrow. I know tomorrow there's a free lunch for all the veterans at Pizza Ranch. So if you don't know where to go, free lunch for all veterans at the Pizza Ranch. I think St. Joe's Catholic Church has something going on there too, but I don't know what time, but there's something there for veterans as well. Anyway, we just thank you for your service and want to remind you that today, following the service, there are a couple of things going on. Choir practice, you're singing one song, it'll be right up here following the service, and then the property committee is meeting, and there's always refreshments if you want to hang around and sit at a table in the fellowship room there. You sure can do that as well. Grief Share is on Tuesday afternoon from 2:30 to 4 p.m., and then also Tuesday night is a church council meeting at 7 o'clock. For those of you that are on the church council, be aware of that. Wednesday from 3:30 to 5 o'clock, we have a bunch of kids that come here right after school, and we call them Joy Kids or Joy Us Kids, and they meet from 3:30 to 5 o'clock, and then a confirmation class, the second year, meets at 5:30, and then there's choir practice at the same time, 5:30 on Wednesday, for those of you that are in that choir. Lunch with the Bunch got started last week. We're studying the book of? Yeah, it's not Hey Jude. It's just Jude. And that book you find in the very back of the New Testament, it comes right before the book of Revelation. Just a very small, it doesn't even have chapters. It's just got 25 verses is all that is in the book of Jude, but there's a lot in there. And so we're studying that, and that's open to anyone who wants to come to that from noon until 1 o'clock on Thursday. And then Saturday, this is huge, because we are LCMC, Lutheran Congregations in Mission for Christ. There's a big district meeting in Spencer at Faith Lutheran Church, and starts at 9 o'clock, goes till 3 o'clock. It's $20 per person. Registration begins at 8:30 to 9 o'clock if you want to come at that time. But I'm just saying, you know, we're a part of this group, and it's the closest it'll probably ever get unless we have it here, which probably may not happen for a while. But if you can make it to that convention, that gathering, district gathering down there in Spencer, I would just like to encourage you to do that. The more the merrier that comes from Milford or from this area down there will be a huge encouragement to those that will be there. And it's just good to find, get to know people from other churches, other places in Iowa, as well for this convention. Well, it's not a convention, it's a gathering, getting together, district meeting is what I would probably call it. So with that in mind, also just on the back side of the flyer in your bulletin, just be mindful that on November 20th, it's on a Wednesday, there's Joy Kids and Joy Us have an open house here at the church. There's a supper at 5:30 chili supper. Just ask to bring a dessert or a side dish there to add with the chili supper, whatever you'd want to bring, go with that. And then it's also Wednesday night fellowship night where Patty Griffiths and Trey will be speaking about Tanzania. And so great, a lot of things packed in the Wednesday. So hope you can make it. If you can't be there, you're just going to miss out. And you might hear it from somebody else. But it sounds like a wonderful evening to be a part of. And I just want to put out there that, you know, after Thanksgiving, we like to have a tree up here and some decorations for Christmas because that's the next thing. Just putting it out there. Anyone that would like to decorate or whatever, just let me know today. Just so we know that will be taken care of or it will be getting done. And that's going to be here before you know it as well. So
just one minor thing.
Yeah.
I believe we're just doing cookies and desserts. I don't think we're doing side dishes. Is that right, Amy?
Right. Try to provide the rest of the meal.
For Wednesday night for the kids' thing.
For the 20th.
Okay. All right. Got that.
Just bring a dessert.
Yeah. And you want to make an announcement for, okay, come on up. Oh, I'll get you a Voic here. Here you go, Patty. Oh, and Angela, too. Come on up here.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I'm Angela Berg, and Patty and I were kind of, she came up with a great idea of walking through the Bible. And it's interesting. I've read through the Bible from start to finish. This is my fourth time through the Bible, and this Bible recap is I love it because all you really do, I'm on day 315, so I started in January. I have to admit I'm a little behind, but the cool thing about this is it's all about chronological, you know, when everything kind of happened. But the big thing is it only takes about 10 minutes to maybe read the scripture. And then Tara Lee Cobble has a little podcast for about 5 minutes, just kind of like putting it into layman's terms, because I don't know about you. Sometimes when I read the Bible, I don't really quite understand maybe the context of everything. So it's kind of given me a little more light on what God's word means. So I would encourage you, we're going to start this January 1st, and you want to just download the YouVersion Bible app, but don't hit Bible recap yet, because we want to do that on January 1st, because it'll start you right away. But the cool thing about this, at least for me, there are days it's just so good to have like good community support, because there's times when I get busy and I kind of forget about it, and it would just be wonderful for all of us to kind of go through the Bible together. So anyway, with that being said, Patty, go ahead.
I just want to tell you some other resources that are available with this. Not everybody is techie. So there is the Bible recap. This basically says what Tara Lee Cobble says in her explanation of what's going on every day. If you're interested in that, I'll put these books in the back so you can look at it. This is $15 approximately, if you want to get something like that and not have anything to do with computers or phones. This is a study guide. It has about five questions each day if you want to dig a little deeper and try to remember more what you're doing. Also, there's a discussion guide, a weekly discussion guide. I'm planning to do a Thursday evening discussion group. I probably can't be there every week. So if someone wants to join me in doing this discussion every week, if other people want to do it, I'm not a theologian. And so we're just going to discuss. Some of us have Bibles that have more information. We can use that. But we can get a whole bunch of discussion guides going, coffee groups, whatever you want to call it. But I'll put these in the back, and you can look through them and see what other resources you want to use, if any. So, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Patty. Thank you, Angela. There we go. I forgot one thing. Today, the kids will be dismissed during the sermon. We're going to start children's church. They'll meet in the fireside room. So I'll just give you some time to depart if you want to depart. Doesn't mean you have to go if you're a child or whatever it is. It's just if you want to. And so we're just going to start that today. Hopefully that will lead into an actual Sunday school as time goes on. But we're going to just kind of start here. In order for that to happen, there always has to be two adults that have signed up for a Sunday and have to be here in order to do this. And it's very simple, right, Amy? You know? You think of a teaching class, it's not really a teaching class, but there's something for you to read and maybe answer questions if kids have any. But there's also a craft that kind of goes with it as well.
Okay. Time and they can see how it goes, and then...
Okay. Yeah. Yep. But we just want two adults to be in there, and one kind of does the reading, and the other one is just there kind of for kid control. You know? Just make sure the kids don't bounce off the walls. And you just kind of just let them know that you're there, and you love them, and you care about them, and they're there to learn something. And then they will release them at 10:30 when the service is over with. So you don't have to worry about them. But they'll come running out. And you'll notice when they're let out, I'm sure, too. They'll be around. So I'll probably sit down before you get run over, maybe. But all right, let's have a word of prayer together before we turn it back over to the songs that the praise band will be playing today. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for everyone that's here. We're grateful, Lord. You know, announcements are one of those things that it's just a way of keeping everyone on the same page and knowing what's taking place, what's going to be happening. It's not something that everybody goes like, oh, great, announcements. Now, how long is this going to take? A little longer today than normal, but we're grateful for everyone that is here today. And we just pray especially, Lord, for Marlene Johnson, who's going to have surgery this Tuesday in Spencer for some gallstones or gallbladder. So we just pray for her today that you'd be with the doctors and with Elwood and with her as they go through this. And they trust you that the doctors will do what needs to be done so that she can feel better and to bounce back. May she heal and mend as only you can make that happen in her body and her life. And for those of us that know her, that we can just keep her lifted up before you in prayer as well. And we know how important prayer is because prayer is powerful. And you hear our prayers when we give them. And sometimes you say, I will do what you ask. Sometimes it is, no, I'm not going to do that. And then it can be, just wait. Just wait and I will see what and when the right time will be for the answer to this prayer to be given. And so we just praise you for who you are. Help us to worship you today with our whole hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I sing out a song, I sing out.
Can be dismissed, or do you still play another one? You're done. You can have a seat as we do the responsive reading. Thank you so much for playing and being here today. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all your hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. And have a special song by Barb Rolfe. And I cannot remember who's playing the piano.
Julie Jones.
Thank you for playing and accompanying her. Lord bless you as you share with us this morning the song that God's laid on your heart called Blessings.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about the song. This song was written by Laura Story about a little over 10 years ago. And this song is sort of about all of our troubles that we have in life and how God helps us through. And Laura, her husband, she was married for only 2 years, and her husband had problems and a brain tumor. And he had an operation, and over those years, he couldn't walk or couldn't work anymore. He couldn't drive. But they have four children, and they're a blessed family, they feel. And she's written many songs, and she's also written Grammy Award-winning songs. And this song was one of my favorites, and it was a Grammy. Julie is my neighbor, my friend, like a daughter to me. We met about 10 years ago, and she is a sweetheart to play for me. We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering, and all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessing comes through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not our home, not our home. Cause what if your blessing comes through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is of a reeling of a greater thirst the world can't satisfy? What if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
Thank you so much for that song, Blessings. I hope the sermon is a blessing to you as well. If not, you can just leave whenever you want. Oh, yeah, okay. Kids, if you want to go and go to your children's church thing, you are dismissed at this time. You can go. And while they are going, if there is anyone, I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 12, and maybe it'll be up on the monitor as well, I'm not sure. But Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44 is our text today that some of you I know have heard this, and yet there might be some of you that have not heard this. So I'm going to read, well, I'm going to have you stand out of reverence to God's word. We stand as he speaks to us today through his word. Mark 12, verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others." They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, she put in everything, all she had to live on. And that's the end of that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see through this text that Jesus is teaching an important, he's making an important point to his disciples when it comes to giving. May we also take this point that Jesus teaches, and may we apply it to our lives, or maybe just think about it, and asking God to help us to do what he would want us to give in our lives as well. So be with us now as we hear your words, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I just want you to know right away that I don't know what anyone here in this church gives, and I don't care, okay? And what I'm talking on is not to try to twist your arm and to beat you up, to make you give more or whatever it is. You're not going to hear that from me. And I just want you to know that the only one who knows what you give is the church treasurer and the church financial assistant. And they don't tell anyone else what it is. So I don't ever want to know what you give either. I just want you to know that. So are we good with that? Are we clear? All right. Hearing one person clap, I take that as a brave soul. And I just want you to know that what's going to be said here today, I just want you to see that it comes from my heart. And over many years of being a pastor in pastoring other churches as well. How many churches? Two. You're my third. I never thought there'd be a third, but here you are. Remember last week we talked about the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are found in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. It's probably the longest sermon that we have of Jesus. Oh, I just felt something fall here. It's not a mouse. Anyway, that's a good thing. But with the Beatitudes, remember last week, all the things that Jesus was talking about in the Beatitudes, the very beginning of chapter 5, they cannot be done by our own strength. It can only be done as God works in us and through us. So don't even try to say, I'm going to do it. Well, you can say, I want the Lord to help me to make these things be a part of my life, that others may be blessed by them. But it has to be God working in you and through you. Don't think that you can go home today, read the Beatitudes, and say, okay, I'm this is the kind of person now that I'm going to be. Because that's taking it in the wrong way. What you find in the Beatitudes is that you have the attitude that God wants us all to have. Some of us have no problem with that. Some of us do partial of those Beatitudes in a good way because God works in you. And it's like we never, ever do things perfectly. No matter how long you live, it's never perfect. And if you think you're a perfect person, please stand up and you are dismissed. I guess I'm standing up. I'm not perfect by any means either. So today I just want us to be thinking a little bit about what our text is saying. It's about being a giver. Now you can be a giver in a lot of different ways, but in our text today, it's very specific. It is about finances. It's what we have to look at what it says here. Giving is an attitude. That's probably the first point I just want to make. Giving is an attitude. I never always had this attitude in my life. I enjoy giving, but it wasn't something that always it came to me quickly, where I enjoyed it. I never had a lot of money ever to give. And remember the time when offering plates were passed in church? You know, there's times where I hated that part of the service because I didn't have much to give, and if it came, I felt I had to give something to put something in the offering plate, so there was guilt with that, and I didn't like that. So, I mean, today we got an offering box back there now, so we don't pass the plates, and that's because of COVID-19. No one could touch anything at that time. So we got a blessing box. You want to put something in it, that's up to you. You don't have to. But giving should always be something that you just want to do. There's no better way to give than if you want to give, and it's not because you have to. Speaking of giving, I'm going to take a little bit of thunder away from Dave Reef and the guys who do the blessing box. Do you know what happened this past week? We got a delivery of chips and other things from Frito-Lay here in Milford. The total cost of it was $50,000. Was delivered to our church to be put in the blessing box to help those who during some economic times here, need a little help with groceries. And so I just want you to know that we didn't expect that. It came. It just came. Dave Reef says, we got a shipment on the way. You know? So I go like, yeah, we sure did. But I asked the guy who, well, we all asked him, kind of like, you know, what did we just get here from you guys? You know, we could guess, but he said, no, this is the biggest shipment we ever got from them, and it was $50,000. And I just go like, good night. That's a lot. That's retail, what it would cost. So God does things that we don't always see and comes from places we would never, ever think they would come from. Now, as you've been getting the mail probably this time of the year, what kind of letters have you been getting in your mailbox? They kind of want you to give to this organization or to give to that cause, whatever it is. You know, and if you had to give something to every letter you got in the mailbox, could you live on what you make a month? The answer is there's no way. If you gave something to all these requests that come in your mail. And it's going to get worse the closer we get to Christmas. It's going to happen that way. But you can do with it what you want. But you cannot give to everything or to everyone that you hear from. If you want to, I mean, go ahead and try it, but I just can't do that. So in our text today, we see Jesus observing. He's just kind of hanging out there in the court of the temple, on the Temple Mount. Observing and watching like a lot of you do when you go to a mall. You like to sit down and just kind of watch people and see who you might recognize, who you might not. Or you have no idea what they're coming to, what they're looking for, or what they're going to buy or anything like that, but you just like watching people. Maybe you do that down at the park in the Arnold's Park as well during the summer months. I don't know. But Jesus is there with his disciples, and he's in a place in the temple area where everything that is given as an offering goes into the treasure, goes into the treasure box. And I don't know if you know it or not, but there is 13 different you know what I'm talking about, places where the money would drop into. But they had if you think of a tuba, you know what a tuba looks like. People would go and they would drop in their offerings in that kind of a metal tuba. Well, it looks like a trumpet. Maybe like a lily. I don't know what it is. But they drop it in there and you could hear it clang. You could hear it make a sound as you would put it in there, and it would drop into the box and somebody later on would take the collection. But there's 13 of them at different places up on the Temple Mount. Near the temple. And so as Jesus is watching people giving their offerings, you could hear who gave a lot and who gave not so much. And this is the place where Jesus gathers his disciples together, and he makes a point. He says, you know, this poor lady who just went up there, and you probably didn't even hear anything as she put in her 2 copper coins because of the people talking out loud and people shuffling their feet. You'd have that kind of sound going on that would just muffle out whatever she put in there. But Jesus said, this widow gave more than all the rich people. Because the rich people, when they put in something, they'd make sure, probably, you could hear what they put in there. And you don't know if it was something that they took pride in doing or going like making sure that, hey, I'm important, or I got money, I can make sure everybody hears it. I want to know what it is. I want you to know what I'm giving to the treasury here. But this lady, who is a widow, which means her husband has died, and yet she is still
has a faith where she's giving to the temple treasury. No, and no one would probably even miss what she was giving. Two copper coins, in today's standards, it's less than one penny. Think of that. But yet she gave more. She left richer spiritually than all those who gave, where you could hear what they put into that offering box. And so Jesus says this to his disciples. It says right here in our text, "I tell you the truth, this poor lady gave more than all the wealthy ones. She gave sacrificially. She gave everything she had, while the rich gave from their surplus." Interesting. Jesus kind of flips everything upside down of what's going on here. The means of the giver, the person who gives, God looks at the motivation in their heart when they give and what they give. That's what's really important. God knows your motivation. It's not about the amount. It's how you give. The motivation why you give is more important to God than the amount. In the Old Testament, it was talked about giving would be 10%. In the New Testament, it's not 10%. It's however you see you're being blessed by, you give on according to that. It can be more than 10%. But we find there's a difference in the New Testament when it comes to giving than in the Old Testament. Giving is an attitude. There are horror stories that I have heard on giving to the church, and some of you have probably been a part of some of these. The horror stories that I have heard has been like this. Someone from the church, doesn't have to be the pastor of that church, comes and visits you in your home and wants to know how much you make, or will assume you make this much money a year. And then we'll say, well, then you need to give to the church X amount of dollars because this is what you make a year. And that's what is kind of expected of you. I don't like that kind of thing at all. Giving should be something between you and God alone, not anyone else. You give what you believe God wants you to give. That's what matters. There was another few churches that I heard over the years where it was printed in their annual report. You're given a number. And then you could find out what you remember. If you could remember your number, you could follow the line across and say, this is what you gave to the church. At least this is what was found there. And then you'd find a bunch of all kinds of different amounts given there, but you may not know the person who had these numbers. But there was one church who one year printed the name and the number and followed it over across. You know, guess who studied that page the most? You know? Again, it's no one's business what you give. That's between you and God. But that's how it was done. In some places, every Sunday the pastor talks about giving to this or giving to that, or, you know, everybody needed to give more. I mean, I go like, good grief, I hate that. And I'm sure you do too. But if people are right with God, they will want to give, and they will give accordingly to what God asks of them to give. That's the best way. You may present a need that may exist in the church, and if anybody wants to give to that need, can do so. But you're not saying, you better give X amount of dollars in order to make this happen. So those are some of the horror stories and misunderstandings about giving or about money in the church. Sometimes there's people who stay away from a church or quit going to church because of this very thing of giving.
Because all they hear is, you know, they'll say, all the church is interested in is? See, I didn't have to say that. All they're interested in is your money. And I think some churches really convey that and make that as a point. You're not going to hear that here at Harbor of Joy. Just want you to understand that. Maybe you're kind of going like, well, how come we don't hear more about finances or something like that in Harbor of Joy? We like it that way. We just like it that way. Jesus spoke a lot about money in the Bible. We find, especially in the New Testament, paying taxes. One time he was accused of not paying taxes to Rome. And Jesus said, go catch a fish. Somebody went and caught a fish and they brought it back and said, look in its mouth. What did they pull out? Some coins. You know? And so he goes, and he said to them, well, who's on the coin? They go like, well, it must be the emperor and whatever. He says, well, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. You're not going to find like God on the money, but our money we got in God we trust. But, you know, that's probably not going to be around much longer because it'll all be a credit card or something in the future. I have no idea. Be a cashless society. Seems like the way that which we're going. I hope I'm dead before that happens, or I'm with the Lord before that happens, or he comes back before that happens. But you have the rich young ruler. We talked about that, heard about him earlier in the last couple of months here. There's a feeding of the 5,000 where Jesus told his disciples, you go and buy the food for these people. And they were saying, well, this is going to take like 8 months of wages in order for us to do that. That's human thinking. Jesus had another plan. And after his plan was taken, had gone forward, they had gathered up basketfuls of leftover bread. Maybe pieces of fish too. When before he started with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, which they got from a young boy who had them. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples and he said to them, take no money with you. Just get out there and go and spread the gospel. But he brings up the issue of money, and I'm sure that would be something that would be on their minds. You know, how are we going to do this if we have no cash? I'm sure there's many missionaries and organizations that go like, we can only do so much with what we have, and if God doesn't provide it for us through his people, then we have to cut back or we just can't do what we're doing. The parables teach a lot about money. Remember the parable, one of the parables that said that he needed someone to send out to his fields to work and he'd pay him so much a day, and then like 6 hours later, somebody else came and he would hire them. He gave them the same amount. At the end of the day, they all got paid. The ones that were only there for a short time got paid the same as those that worked all day. And there was complaining about that. But it was basically said, well, who's paying you? You decided you're going to work for that amount. You get that amount. And I can do, because I'm the owner of the field or whatever it is, I can give you what I want to give you. It's not anything where you start picketing and starting a strike. You decided to work for that amount of money for that amount of time. There's giving to the needy, we find in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. And even Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's for us today too. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Malachi, which is the very last book in the Old Testament, we look at the 3rd chapter, verse 10 and following, it talks about bringing in the full tithe. Malachi talks about how the people of Israel were robbing God. They were doing everything for themselves, but God didn't really matter in their lives. And so he just said, it's the only place we find in all of the Bible where God says to his people, test me on this. Test me. Because then he will show you what he can do, even though you think he can't. And it has to do with tithing. There are people who have no idea what a tithe is. I remember of a gal at a bank when she would get a check from somewhere, and she called it a tithy. You know, and she didn't know what a tithy was. Had no idea it was called a tithe. It is what a person wanted to give to their church or to some other place. And he says this in Malachi, test God and see what he will do. He will open up the floodgates of heaven and will pour out many blessings, more than you and I could imagine. It's like the Frito-Lay truck. Didn't expect that. And to find out it cost that much, or it's worth that much. But God says, just tithe what you can. Tithe what you can. If you can't do 10%, well, then start with 1%. But start somewhere, and you can always build on that to find out that it is true, that God can do things that you never thought were possible. And what I have found is that when I begin to tithe, you don't miss what you give to the church. And you always seem to have more in your checkbook than you ever had before. I don't understand that. But God knew how much you wrestled with that ahead of time. You go like, it was nothing to wrestle about at all. You just do that. And you trust him. Again, it's an attitude. Giving is an attitude. I want to tell you a true story and close with this true story. There was a lady who was in her 80s, and she had, I can't remember if it was 6 or 7 kids is what she had, and her husband had died. I was talking with her in a nursing home, and her big goal in life, as she looks back at her life, was she wanted to make sure that all of her kids got an education, that they all got a high school education. Where they went from there they were on their own, but she wanted to make sure they went through high school. And she worked as a waitress. She had like 3 different jobs to make sure that her kids were given that opportunity to get an education. Occasionally, one of her sons would send her some money, and he lived in Colorado. But on occasion, he would just send his mom, here's some money, Mom. Do with it what you want. Spend it any way you want. Well, one day, she called me to come to her room, and she said, guess what I got from my son in Colorado? I go, like, you probably got some money from him. She goes, yes, I did. And here it is, $50 bill. And she said, I want to give this to the church. I said, what? You want to give 50 bucks to the church? She goes, yep, I want it to go to the church. She goes, I don't need it. I go, you don't have anything. You could use it for something, like a Snickers bar or something, you know, a bottle of pop. But she goes, nope. I really want to give this to the church. She said, blessed is nothingness. She was on Medicaid, which means everything was being paid for as she's in the nursing home through the state. She never had anything in her life, really, anyway. She had her kids. She loved her kids. She had nothing. And she was taking over 20-some pills a day. And she goes, I don't know why I got to take all these pills. But the bottom line, as I remember her, she always said, blessed is nothingness. And I just said, what does that really mean? When you have nothing, you don't have to deal with anything. I remember my mom, I still remember my mom, the things we as her kids had to deal with in getting her moved to where she's living today. And I would be saying in my mind, blessed is nothingness. We had to find stuff. What do you do with all this stuff? It's better if you don't have any of it. So it's good to move every now and then. You got to get rid of stuff. If you haven't moved, and if you've got everything in your house and garage full and you've got to buy a storage place to put the other stuff in, guess what? You have too much. So, but does this sound, what this lady said to me, does it sound something like Jesus is saying here in our text? Jesus is our example, and many times Jesus opens his hands as a way to express giving rather than turmoil or to beat you up. His hands have always been open, always will be. They're welcoming. They'll open their hand to shake your hand. They'll help you out. He wants to share with you. He just wants to be a friend of yours. It's always with an open hand. You know if you have a friend, if they have an open hand to help you. If you got a clenched hand like this, do you think that's going to be a good offering? It comes from you? Chances are, no. But if it's like this, yes. Open hands. Open hands always mean an expression of openness. And we think of Jesus on the cross, how were his hands? They were open, nailed to the cross. But they're open, meaning that there was salvation, there was forgiveness for all who would come to him and believe in him. That's a great thing. It's still for us today. He will come. He's inviting you to come and to believe in him and trust in him. Even in the subject that we're talking about here today. Jesus gave everything he could for us. Open hands. He gave. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, God will take your garbage and give you eternal life in exchange. Amazing. Amazing grace to each one of us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the people that you bring into our lives, that we cross paths with, that give us things to really look to you and say, Lord, I get it. I get it. And sometimes it makes us ashamed as we think about how much we think we have to have or should have. When this poor widow here gave just not even a penny, but it was all she had. Sacrificially giving. Maybe there's some here that understand this woman. And maybe there's some here that don't. But we thank you, Lord, for the way in which you provide. If it's a blessing box, if it's Sunday mornings, whatever is given or may come in the mailbox throughout the week, who knows? But we just say thank you, Lord, that giving really does bless many other people in ways that they don't even know about. So thank you in helping us to have an attitude of giving where people know that we are thankful for what you have done for us on the cross through your Son, Jesus Christ. In him we go to, and in him we rest. In your name we pray. May we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Give you the benediction. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with these friends that are here today. May we know when we leave that we have spent time with you here, and it's not the end, but it's just the beginning of another week that comes ahead of us where we can take you with us to our work, to our homes, to whomever, to our kids, to our just a phone call, whatever it is. But Lord, may we be a blessing to those in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks be to God.